Emo. Emotional music for emotional people. E. M. O.
Hello, what is up, YouTube? Welcome back to another fucking episode. Welcome back to my channel. Whatever they used to say 5-6 years ago, right? I don't know if that's how long ago it was that fucking YouTube influencers blew up. I don't honestly know. I was never a big YouTube influencer kind of guy. The closest I got into influencer culture was doing an interview with John Hill a few years ago. About when he putting out solo music, and then we talked a lot about his divorce from Jaclyn Hill, and that was the first time that either of them was spoke publicly about it, and that was like my foray into YouTube, like influencer, like all that kind of drama, and that was a trip. And ever since then, I like was like, okay, I was overwhelmed. You get all kinds of comments. Because first of all, what a fucking messy situation to just dive fucking headfirst into. Yeah, quite the trip. If any of you have, there's going to be a lot of you that have probably not a single fucking clue what I'm talking about. So if you're listening to this and you're like, what is he talking about? Just fucking reach out to me and I'll send you the article. Then I'll send you a YouTube video of this other like fucking influencer that like did a whole video on like my article and on my interview. It was a trip. Honestly, I'm getting way off track. I'm just strolling down memory lane as I sit here in my apartment recording this because honestly, what else is there to talk about than my own accomplishments, so to speak. Any fucking way. Thank you for making it this far. I don't sound 2 minutes into this. If you're still listening to me, God bless you. If you listen to any episodes so far, thank you. If this is your first episode, let's go. This is a great first episode to fucking dive into. We're going to talk about Futures by Jimmy Eat World. Obviously, you can probably see the title. This is like the first record I think that I've covered on this podcast where like you can definitively call it like a classic, you know, a quote unquote classic record, right? Like the records we've done so far, you know, the Sugar Cult record, the Yellow Card record, Panameno, everything has been like, you know, records that I love and records that I think, you know, are classic to me, or like they should have been classic records. They should have been bigger. But this is a record that, and Scott and I dive into a little bit, you know, this obviously, so I'm not going to spoil the whole thing for you, but this is a record that obviously had commercial success. It had the single, you know, it had Pain. That was a big single. Like this is a record that, and obviously in the scope that is Jimmy World's discography, this is a record that often gets talked about as being their best. You know, you've got this, Clarity, Sometimes Blue American, you know, so like, this is like typically like the pinnacle of like Jimmy World's like, not success, because Blue American was their biggest success, but this is like the pinnacle of like what they could do and what they can't do as a band, right? So this is the first time we're doing an episode like on a record that already like has its legacy, which is that it's a fucking rock solid, like rock, pop rock, indie rock, whatever the hell you want to call it, like album. And so if you're curious as to more of why I think that or what Scott and I's opinions are on how great this record is, obviously our opinions are that it's phenomenal. Otherwise we would not be doing in 50 minutes talking about it, right? So if you're curious as to what that is, definitely keep listening. If you're not, then you don't have to, I guess, but I would appreciate it if you did because my ego, you know, my ego likes that, right? That's the whole point of having a fucking ego. So that was just a joke. Please don't think I have an ego. I have no ego. I'm 27 and mentally ill, so there is no ego here. So thank you so much for listening. Next week is going to be a killer episode. They're all fucking killer, if I'm being honest. All killer, no filler. That's not a hint at the next episode, don't worry. I'm not doing a Sum 41 record yet. Damn, that would have been a great fucking hint, though. Anyway, carry on. Here we go with Jimmy Eat World's Futures.
All All right, welcome back to another week, another day in the life, so to speak, where we just review emo records, hence the title Classically Emo. Doesn't get any better than that. We're doing a great record by one of my favorite bands. Today we're going to talk about Futures by Jimmy Eat World with none other than the Waldman of Scott. Scott, how are you doing?
Pain.
Pain is all we feel, right?
Every day, all day.
It's a very emo thing to say. I appreciate it.
I got to be honest and I got to be expressive.
That's what it's all about. So, Scott, I know a little bit about you, but maybe some people don't. If they don't, I don't know how, you know. But let's say somebody doesn't know much about you. I guess kind of talk to me a little bit or tell them what, you know, what band you first fell in love with, if you've got one.
I mean, well, the Beatles and Weird Al, I'd say, were the two acts I first fell in love with. But in this scene world of emo or whatever you want to call
it.
I would say Jimmy Eat World in between Static Prevails and Clarity, but we're not talking about those two.
No, sir, not today. But those are very interesting records in the career of their band, at least, you know. Because Static Prevails was on the major, right? They were on Columbia still when that, like, that was their Columbia.
Capitol. Static Prevail, it's okay. CC and all major labels are all the same. They're all owned by the White family, Logan's family.
That's right. But, that's how I got this.
Yeah, no, I get it. I mean, thank you for the coupon. But no, basically, a buddy of mine who is a year older than me, as all people who advise others about cool music are, showed me this band Jimmy Eat World, showed me this song Claire, and I was just like, holy shit, this is awesome. And that exposed me to that whole world that people call emo, post-hardcore, or mall punk, whatever you want
to call it. That's right, mall punk, that's it.
And after that, Clarity came, fucking awesome. After that, Bleed American came, fucking awesome. But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about 2004.
That's right. We're talking about one of the best albums, I think, at least in this particular genre of music, whether you want to call it mall punk. I almost think Jimmy Eat World is like a little bit different than mall punk, you know, but that's all right. That's the scene they came up in, so they'll always kind of be tied to that.
Listen, I didn't make the labels. I can just tell you that if you're going to talk about the best mall punk records, this might not be there. But if you're going to talk about the best, like, emo or post-hardcore or pop rock or whatever, Futures is probably my second favorite Jimmy Eat World album, and definitely one of the better albums released this century.
I love it. I would agree with that hands down. So, Scott, you, though, are obviously no stranger to music, or we were talking about major labels. You're no stranger to major labels yourself, obviously. You were in a band that was once signed to a major label and then kind of switched to artist management. So when, like, we went from being a band, what made you decide to go into the almost business side of it?
I fucking sold out, dude. It was an accident. I actually signed a deal at the end of 2004, which was probably a few months after Futures came out.
Yeah.
But being an artist manager, I started that, you know, around 2015, and it was completely accidental. One of my guitar students, because when I was touring with the band, I'd come home from tour, and a good way to make money, in fact more money than a major label contract, which is fucked up, basically they'd be like, oh shoot, the guy from the City Drive teaches guitar and bass, let's do it. And so I don't know, one of my former students hit me up, asked me about her music. I told her that, you know, you can't unhear what I say. She said, no, that's good. You're no bullshit. You're a New Yorker. I live in LA. Everyone's fucking fake. And I said, that's true.
Yeah, it is.
I told her, you know, my opinion on her music. I love you, wife. And I told her, you know, my opinion on her music. And she took that advice. The next show and then the show after that was pretty packed, sold out in LA. Nice. It's like, everyone's dad Spielberg or David Geffen, so it's like people are jaded. So I became a manager accidentally when I just said, hey, do you want me to manage you? And that was
it. And I would look at that.
Fucking Logan White.
That's right. Yeah, it's all back to full circle, back to the major label family right here. So
yeah, everything. You own Sony.
I am Sony at this point. Let's be just quite frank with everybody.
I wish you owned Sony.
I honestly do too. I would be living a very different life if I owned Sony, but that's all right.
You would have domiciles in Ohio, Missouri, yep, and fucking Hawaii.
I would. That's exactly where I would be. No doubt. Well, Scott, the last thing I want to get people to know about you is obviously you're much more than artist, than a manager, right? You've got your own radio show that you do, which I was on last year, I think, right? Yeah, yep. Last year.
Yeah. Last year doesn't exist. Because it doesn't. It was not a good year. But you being a part of it was great. And also shout out to Molly Huddleston for being on it as well. Yep. Waldman's Words, Adobe Radio.
That's right. And Molly was on this podcast too. She was just on it probably last week. So
what album?
Her and I did Penimeno. We did I No Longer by them, which is...
I had no idea Molly liked Penimeno.
I know, right? Yeah.
No, that's which dope. Is, hi, Molly.
It's a very different classic record in the sense it didn't sell as much. And honestly, we actually compared it a lot to this record. So ooh. I like being doing them back to back, you know?
Yeah, let that her go awesome. First because ladies first.
That's right. It's the gentleman thing to do, right?
Yeah, because like you saved the best for last. You know what I'm saying?
That's right. That's right. Well, speaking of best for last, this one was not their last record, but it was almost. Just kidding. It was not. Futures, man. Futures came out in October 2004, which you mentioned you were just signed probably a few months after that. I was in elementary school in 2004. So
fuck you, Logan White.
That's a quick update on everybody. But yeah,
he always
this
pulls
record...
this young card with me. Like, I can't win. You're right.
I know. You're like, yeah, I was in a major level band. I was like, yeah, I was learning division in like elementary school.
Oh.
That's right. I think I was in a room that still had like posters, like postcards on the wall telling you like what the door was and what the wall was. I think that's where I was at.
And I'm consulting with CPAs.
It's yeah. That's amazing. It's amazing. Well, Futures, you know, we could talk a little bit about that and kind of what this record was for them.
Pre-Bush second election. It was like it came out around the same time as American Idiot and opened mm-hmm. with kind of a hopeful track about yeah. like if Bush lost.
Yeah. Yeah, they make it very clear from the beginning, you know, it's not, and I wouldn't even say it's like a political record, right? But that's a very clear song. Futures itself is, you know, which is interesting because like coming from 2001 Bleed American, I don't really know what their mindset was at the time, but I think they had just gotten dropped from Capitol right before that record came out. You know, and so they did that one all on their own. Then they took it to a label. And then DreamWorks. Futures was very different, right? They had that label behind them. Mm-hmm. And this was their first record. They didn't work with Mark Trombino, I think, right? So
I mean, he was a part of it, but like what I remember reading about it, like from Bleed American mm-hmm. to Oh Shit, 9/11 happened. Let's yeah. name this self-titled to because it literally, I think it came out on September 11th. Or
I think it came out right around then, yeah.
Yeah, so like... Like, no, we don't want to do that. Like, we don't yeah. want people to hate us. But with Futures, they went into it thinking, like, we're not going to be able to write a song like The Middle again. We're just yeah. not. Mm-hmm. Even though, you know, Pain is very similar.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
It's heavier, definitely, but it's very yep. similar, like, structurally. Like, I remember listening to it and be like, oh, shit, like, this yeah. feels like the same recipe. But they, yep. I feel like they knew, like they knew that like the Proclaimers, like after they wrote like I'm gonna be, they're like okay, fuck it, like we can't top this.
Yeah.
So
absolutely,
they knew, but I feel that the record is just more consistent than
I think
Bleed
so.
American.
Yeah, absolutely, I would agree with that. And you're right, I think it's a much darker record than Bleed American, you know. And I guess we could attribute that to working with Gil Norton, or like you said, they just knew that they couldn't do it again, you know.
Yeah, which sucks, but it's awesome. Like, they're self-aware, but, like, I mean, I don't know. Like, I'm hoping that, like, I haven't peaked yet, you know. You, Logan? You know.
I hope not. I hope I haven't. If I have, then... shit, I guess. I don't know. That's tough. We'll
yeah,
see how
sucks,
it goes,
dude.
Man. I'm only 26. I guess I could peak at 26. Some people do, you know. At least some people peak in high school. Hopefully I didn't peak in high school.
I'm trying to think who peaked, you know, like teen stars.
Yeah.
They definitely peak in their teenage years.
Yeah. You know, some of them younger. What's the dude from Home Alone doing? I know he's still out there kicking.
He's
but
tweeting.
He's tweeting now, just like the rest of us, like a normal person. He's
like
tweeting.
Eve 6.
Eve 6. That's a whoof. Who saw that coming, man? I didn't see that coming. I thought their account got hacked at first. I was like, what is this?
And yeah, then, I don't think even Max Collins saw that one coming, but good for him.
I don't think so.
And back to fucking 23, the best closing track to any album ever, with the exception of the Beatles' A Day in the Life. Sorry.
Hey, 23, that is a record that, a song, sorry, that is a song that's just very.
It's a record, too.
It's a record. That could be its own. I mean, it's 7 minutes. It's basically an EP, you know. It's
an EP by a crust punk band.
Hey, it's half the length of whatever one was on Clarity. I can't remember. Goodbye Sky Harbor.
Oh, Goodbye Sky Harbor, dude.
Yeah, that was
that
16
song is so
minutes.
Long. Fun
that's
fact.
That's literally an EP.
For me, This Is Heaven is actually the wedding song for me and
nice.
My wife, Kelly.
Hey, shout out to Kelly, right?
Yeah, dude. She's in the other room watching my baby
for
while
putting
I
up
talk
with you
about
and
fucking pain and shit.
Yeah. That's right. Speaking of pain, I want to go back to that because you mentioned that song. And I think it's, you know, for them, it was a great single because of what you mentioned, that it was like, you know, pop punky enough, I guess, right, to satisfy those fans that liked the middle, but introduced that darker sound and like, I don't know, I don't want to say lyric substance because it's something that they were like a bland band before, you know.
But Bleed American, like the middle is a pretty like, hey, motivation song,
yeah,
you know?
Mm-hmm.
So like pain is dark and
yeah.
I believe they've opened a number of shows with it and I've seen mm-hmm. them do it and it's a sick ass opener.
It is. It's absolutely a solid opener. I mean, I think for them, this was, you know, coming off of the middle, you weren't going to have another single like that, right? I mean, you're not going to have one. No. I think that one hit number 5 on the Hot 100, just absolutely bonkers. But Pain still did good. You know, I think it hit number 1 on the alternative radio. It was in a bunch of video games, a bunch of movies. So, you know, believe it or not, I'm pretty sure, and I think this is right, at the time that we're recording this at least, it's their only single to get certified. Gold.
Really?
Not even the middle. Yeah, not even the middle has that.
Yeah, but what's crazy is, like, certification don't mean a shit when you play it at a bar. Like, survey fucking the when spring break comes back in Panama yeah. City Beach. Hey, do you know the middle or do you know Pain?
They'll be like, I know Pain. That's why I'm in Panama City. But, yeah, that's.
Well, or I am a fucking masochist. But
that's right.
Know, no, I mean, honestly, it tracks. I believe it's track 6, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's
yeah, I think so.
It's so hard hitting. It's a perfect first single. It sounds amazing. It's super catchy and
yeah.
it's smart. And that's the thing about them is that like there's a lot of catchy music that you listen to that you don't think after you hear an Ariana Grande song like, oh, that's smart. You think, oh, that's,
sure,
you know, it's well written or it's catchy. But the
yeah.
Genie world, for some reason, they seem academic.
Yeah, they do. They do. They seem academic a little bit. A little bit more than the Offspring, who's actually scientist, right? Dexter has an actual PhD, but yet very different. Yeah, that is very true. But yet it seems like Jimmy Eat World are those academic kids. They're the students that are still impressing the teacher.
And they appeal
right?
to nerds like us. And like
they do.
I mean, when you describe like a Jimmy Eat World fan, like you kind of get a picture of a dude in a Reddit room, you know. And when you describe, like, it's kind of like in the same world as, like, the Weezer fans or the OK
sure.
Go fans, you know? When you describe
yeah.
Blink fans, you don't describe
too.
Them that way.
Yeah, shout out to Flans, yeah.
Yeah, you got to fucking respect Flans.
I love Blink Flans.
I'm not drunk or high. I'm just me.
You're just Scott. This is just who you are. We can blame it on Max, that seems a little cruel, though. We can't really blame that on him. He's too young.
Yeah, you can blame him. He's a fucking asshole sometimes. I love the shit out of him, but I have a baby, and, like, he doesn't, like, speak the language, and he sometimes just
yeah.
hits us, and it's like, he can't
you
go
just
to
have
jail.
To know what that means, man. He's got to
know
what that
means. I don't
know
what it means. Like, I don't speak baby.
Yeah. Well, at least he's not a baby. You got to the baby stage and, you know, they're still alive. So that's something.
He's still a baby. I don't feel the way I've ever felt, Logan.
he's almost, is he two now? He's got to be close to that, right?
Nah, dog. He's 1 year, 4 months.
No kidding. Wow.
And every other day, Kelly and I switch, my wife switch, you know, who like wakes him up in the morning and takes care of it. And guess what today was? My day.
Uh-oh. Oh, boy. That was fun. Yeah, you sent me that picture. He looks like he's tall. He seems like a big one.
He's definitely not big, like, because, like, he's Jewish and he's me and Kelly. But, like, he's getting bigger. He was actually a preemie, you know. So, like, we were always looking forward to futures.
Yeah, hey, there it is. Futures are hope for better in November, right? So,
yeah, dude. Well, I know that you're not Captain Biden and I'm not either. But I'm definitely Captain Biden over Trump, so I do believe in futures.
We do believe in futures, hey. Speaking of futures, that's an arena-ready song from the get-go. That song, I think, put it bluntly, just kicks ass. Like, from start to finish, it just, that guitar in the beginning, I mean, it's just great. I don't know. I think that song almost shows the difference in the producer, like going with Norton, because he had worked with bands like, you know, Foo Fighters. And not that that's almost like a Foo Fighters song, but like kind of. Like, I could see that being a Foo Fighters song, instrumentally speaking, you know?
I mean, honestly, well, Gil Norton was a guy who worked with like Pixies and Foo Fighters. Yeah. And like, to me, you know, I think that Sister Act 2 is a better sequel than Sister Act. Sure. And I feel that Futures, like, is a better opening track than Bleed American. And it's similar structurally. It's similar, like, as a guitar player, riff-wise, but it's I feel it's just, like, such a fucking punch in the gut.
Yeah. It is. Speaking of punch in the guts, they've got that lyric about how it's hard to find balance between living decent, right, and then the cold and real. And that just hurts differently these days, because the cold and real is a lot colder and sadly more real, especially since I'm not 10 anymore listening to that going, I don't know what that means. Now I'm like, well, I know what that means, and it sucks.
Well, I was literally 23 when this album came out, when nobody likes you when you're 23.
That's right.
And that song, to me, like, I remember when I heard it, and I was just like, is this bitch talking about John Kerry? And that's the thing. It was just like, I think American Idiot came out literally around that time. Mm-hmm. And it was, I don't know, man. I just remember when I heard that single, it's like, fuck yes. A band I love that's popular is still cool.
Yeah. They're still cool, man. American Idiot came out September 21st, 2004. So
when did Futures come out?
October 2004, so like a month.
So like before. Right after.
That's right. That's right. And by the way, I looked this up too while I was at it. We were a little bit off with Bleed American. That came out in July of 2001.
So, okay, well, just before the fucking world changed.
Just before. So really, they were probably 2 months into like promoting that album. They're like, shit, we got to change the whole fucking title. Like,
yeah, dude. It's like the guy who made the album called Saddam Hussein is Great, and then fucking the war started. Shit. Fuck.
Somebody out there was like, damn, I got to change my whole thing now. I mean, think about how Guar was impacted. They were probably killing whoever on stage. And what if Guar did it? I don't know if the government ever enlisted the help of Guar for that, but honestly, they probably should have.
After Beavis and Butthead, they did.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Speaking of Kill, the song Kill. Look at
track
that.
Track 4? Wait, track I'm not four. Looking this up. Wikipedia is not on me. Is it track 4?
It is track 4. Yeah. I have it pulled up. Yep. Track 4. And I would tell you, if somebody asked me my favorite Jimmy Eat World song, this would probably be it.
Nope.
I don't know.
Your
I
favorite song is not Kill, is 23.
Yeah. You know, if it's either Kill or 23. Absolutely.
Actually, Kill, Softer is probably my favorite, but 23 is close.
23 is a close one.
23 is so good. I used to intentionally, anytime there was a digital jukebox, I would put it on because I would get my money's worth, because it's a long song.
It's a long song. That's a good touch tune song right there. Hopefully it's only one credit. If it's one credit, you get a steal.
Exactly. It's like you could put on fucking Lil Pump and like, get like a minute 45.
Yeah.
But you'd put that on and you'd, all the frat boys at the bar be like, what the fuck is this shit?
Yeah,
and I'd be like, exactly.
Exactly. gets them thinking a little bit. This is all they could really stand to do. Yeah, ugh, gross. But going back to Kill, the thing that I really like about this song is there's not a single repeating lyric in the song. How about that? That's a fun
little
fact.
I want to look up these lyrics here.
That's true.
I know that I've always
set out to write that. He set out to write it away that there wasn't a single repeating lyric.
What?
That's why the chorus is not the same.
That's cool.
Musically, it's the same, but lyrically, it's very different. You know?
Huh. I had no idea.
And you've mentioned,
is there a featured female vocalist on it?
Maybe in the background.
I feel like that it is that.
That sounds like it. And if not, that would be great on this song. It's also a very Pixies song. You mentioned the Pixies earlier with Newton. I think it's a very Pixies song because it starts slow and then builds up, right? Which is like, you know, essentially the Pixies, what they did, you know?
Yeah, so the kind of verse that's clean and then the chorus with distortion, kind of like the Nirvana formula.
Absolutely. This is their Fight Club song. This could be Fight Club 2. Fun fact, I've actually never seen that movie, so I don't really know anything about it.
You're not supposed to talk about that.
I know. Well, that's why I can say it. See, I've never seen it, so I don't know. I don't know. I just know Pixies. I know. I've never seen it.
You want to stop this interview and then hit me up when you're done?
And go watch it and come back. See, you know, I've never seen it, and the great thing about Fight Club is nobody has ever told me what it's about. So I have literally no idea what it's about.
Do you want me to tell you?
I don't think so.
Okay, then I won't.
Wouldn't you be breaking the rule of Fight Club to like not talk about
Fight
Club?
Yeah, but I'm not an ascriber. I'll just tell you that Fight Club is one of the better Brad Pitt movies.
I hope so. I mean, I don't know that many Brad Pitt movies off the top of my head. And what's that one where like him and Angelina Jolie are a spy? Is that him?
I Spy.
I Spy. I love it.
No, that's the one where they met and I think they fell in love and ruined their relationships.
Oh, that sounds about right. Mr. and Mrs. Smith, that's the one I was thinking of. Angelina Jolie.
I don't need to look that up anymore.
Yeah, we don't need to look that up. Not to get too off track, but I found out today who Angelina Jolie's father was. I had no idea.
You didn't know John Voight was dad?
I had no idea. I had no idea.
I looked it up
and they've been beefing for 30 years, I guess, so...
And it's sad. I don't think they have a good relationship now. But John Voight is a crazy successful actor.
He is.
Yeah. And I think the reason I'm going to get really introspective here, I think the reason why she had a double mastectomy, Angelina Jolie, is because of the BRCA gene from her mother who passed away.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's get back
to
futures.
Back to futures. Back to futures in 23.
Back to the futures.
If we ever get off track, just back to 23. Back to 23. Because that song's 7 minutes, so we can talk about it forever. 2004, man. What a year.
I mean, a really good year for music. I mean, the City Drive, we signed our record deal that year. I believe that the Killers' Hot Fuss was around that year.
I think so, yeah.
I mean... I can tell you, I think that 2005 and 2006 had some great releases, but probably a lot of bands gained, you know, infamy around 2004. Mm-hmm. But Futures, I can honestly say, is probably my second favorite Jimmy World album.
Yeah. What's number one?
Clarity.
Clarity? Okay. Because you're old, yeah.
And if it's your favorite, I'm not going to discount it.
Yeah, it is. It is by far... my favorite. I think I said it before we started recording, but I'll say it again so everyone can hear me say it for fun. I think this is the Jimmy Eat World record. I know everybody points to Clarity, but I think they're like a much different band on Futures than they are Clarity, right?
I think if you're going to show a regular music listener or just a regular person who like their opinions honestly matter to me more than fucking
stars
like us. But like they really do because they're like but like I don't know, I feel that this is probably front to back their most accessible record for like some rando in like Montana.
Yeah, I really do.
And I'm not discounting Montana, I'm just saying that like it's 11 songs, all 11 songs have something different for everyone. It's a cohesive album. Production wise it's great. You know, lyrically wise, it's great. It's just a strong ass fucking album. And most Jimmy World fans say Bleed American's their favorite album. And I think that this is actually a step above.
I do too. I think we can agree on that. I think it's a step above Bleed American, and I think Bleed American's a great record. I think this, they just took it to the next level, you know.
And it's sad that it didn't do as well, but it did well enough to keep them on the label. And yeah. I just want to say that, you know, their next record was fucking great too. And people don't talk about it enough.
Chase the Slight is so good.
It's really good. It's I think Big Casino is a fucking awesome track one.
It is.
And I put those in their top four, like Static, yeah, Into Clarity, Into Bleed, Into Chase. I would say that.
So you'd put, would you put Futures below Chase?
I would put Futures as number two. Okay. I put Bleed as three, and I put Chase. I did a Substream article with, you know, you about Fall Out Boy, but Jimmy Eat World, let's see. I wrote it with Mike Glitta, who is in the band Census Fail. And let's see. I'm Googling it right now. I believe. Yeah. I'm not sure if we put Futures as number two or three, but I would have put Futures.
You would have. Yeah. There's got to be some give and take, right? Yeah.
It has to be, because you're all about, I like Fall Out Boy, pre take this to your grave. I'm like, dude, you're crazy.
Pre take this to your grave. Yeah, right. There's only.
No, I'm Fall Out
Boy,
now,
Folly A Do, for what and that's worth.
No, Futures was number two. Futures was number two. Clarity was number one. See? Integrity, dog.
Integrity matters. Integrity matters. And you know, I think you mentioned that it didn't sell as well. That's true. I think that was never going to sell as well, and they probably knew that. But I think it received a ton of good reviews at the time, like across the board.
Totally.
Generally speaking, you know, people kind of complimented it more than Bleed American in that sense. However, there was, I looked this up earlier when I was putting, like, you know, kind of random notes together. There was a review that said Futures will most likely not be the sensation that Bleed American was, because it is too dark and inwardly focused for that.
I mean, they're right.
Which, yeah, in hindsight, he was right. Maybe it had something to do with the darker tone, but like we mentioned earlier, they were never going to write another The Middle, and I don't think they really wanted to either.
I think they wanted to for the money, but not creatively. Yeah. I mean, honestly, like, I can't imagine the checks they get on that song. But, like, I'm looking at my list, and this list was prior to Surviving.
Mm-hmm.
And Damage was the lowest ranked, followed by Integrity Blues, which I think is great. But, I mean, even Damage is great.
Yeah.
And then followed by Invented, Static Prevails, and then we get to these four fucking powerhouse of Chase the Slight, Bleed American, Futures, number two, Substream,
respect,
and number one, Clarity. But, I mean, the thing is that the music that people listen to in middle school and high school, for some reason, is the music that, like, they hug most, so.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I would rank them somewhat similar. I would obviously put Futures one. I would put Invented below. I would put Invented last, only because I love Damage. Damage is close to Futures in the sense of, like, stylistically. It's like a, I think at the time he called it like an adult breakup record, which it is an adult breakup record.
That's what they say.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I love it. And honestly, I love every single Jimmy Eat World record. I think Stack Prevails all over the place, but I love it. Yeah. But I don't know, like, that four series, like, people often talk about, you know, how bands sometimes have like 1-2 punch or 1-2-3 punch, but that 1-2-3-4 punch, there are not many bands that can have those front to back classics like Jew.
Yeah, Jimmy Eat World. I know a lot of people talk about Motion City having the same kind of solid discography. I'm not as big on Motion City as some people are, but I respect that a lot.
Maybe Green Day. Maybe you could say, like, Warning, American Idiot, and 21st Century. Sure, go for it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, Motion City, I would say maybe Commit This to Memory and the next two.
Yeah.
I would say that. Maybe.
Yeah. I would give
My
that.
Dinosaur Life is actually my favorite Motion City, and people yell at me.
Yes. I wouldn't yell at you for that. I would not hit if that's a solid record.
Thank you. I'm not going to cry.
Her Words Destroy My Planet's one of my favorite Motion City songs. So that's
my wife likes Motion
podcast.
City. So, and she doesn't like anything I listen to. So I'll take it.
Yeah, you got to take the victories when you can in a marriage, right?
take the victory records when you can.
Take the don't take the victory records when you can.
Actually, hey man, it's a day to remember over here.
Yeah, they're gonna be taking back your Sunday and all of your money too. So
Up, Atreyu. That doesn't make any sense.
Oh my goodness, I love it. Thank goodness Jimmy World was not on Victory Records, only because I don't know what would have happened to them. You know,
they would have written an angry breakup song.
Thank gosh we avoided that, right? Oh my goodness. Thank gosh they've never written an angry breakup song.
Well, their whole album is like angry breakup
songs. Anyway. That's what they do. They're adult versions of angry breakup songs. That's the thing about Jimmy Eat World, I think, with Futures, is that really established him as like not another pop punk band, you know? And I think this record, and I think I that's why I like Kill so much, because I think Kill is kind of where they solidified, not that they really needed to after like Clarity per se, but I think it really solidified them as like, I hate keep saying like they're adult breakup songs,
no,
but like
it's
they're
fine.
You know, they're more
older than everyone on Warped Tour.
They are. They're older than everyone on Warped Tour. I think the music is more mature than like their contemporaries at the time, right?
Oh, totally. Totally.
And I think that's where this record really hit home, that they were like, "Hey, we're going to keep this going. You know, we're not going to write like another pop punk album for the hell of it, you know.
We're going to wear a dress shirt.
We're going to wear dress shirts tucked into our jeans."
I feel like he was always wearing like that like dress shirt tucked in.
I think it's just the Jim Adkins look, man, and I love it.
It's work, dude.
It's work. I don't, you know, I've seen them almost like every or every other summer, and he hasn't aged at all. Like, I think he looks the same as he did.
He looks 23,
dude. Payne. He does look 23, man. He looks like he has not bled any of that American out, and he is still 23.
Yo, there's nothing wrong with that.
There's nothing. It's the good genes, man. Those are good genes that he's got. Literally.
Genie Eat World.
You know, Jimmy Eat World, the name isn't even about stuff him, is it? No, like I always used to think it was like Jimmy, but like I don't think that's where they got the name from.
I think it was from a painting. I mean, this is what he says, so it doesn't mean it's true, but it's from a painting that his brother made when he was like a kid.
I love that. That's cool.
And the acronym is Jew, and he's not Jewish, so it's very confusing for me and Molly.
Yeah, that is very confusing for a few of our friends out there. You're right. Yes, I looked this up. It's on their Wikipedia. The band's name came from a crayon drawing. Or what? Crayon? Did I say that right? Crayon?
You say crayon. I mean, honestly, if it's on Wikipedia, it's true.
It's on Wikipedia if a crayon
drawing. If you go to TMZ.com, it's always true. Absolutely. Everything you read in the internet is true.
Absolutely. Specifically, it's from Perez Hilton. That's my source. And the Federalist. That's where I get all my news. The Federalist and Perez Hilton.
The Federalist and QAnon.
QAnon. I can't even say that. I was going to say this is officially a QAnon podcast, but I can't say
you
that.
You can't, because I'm kidding. Fuck them.
Yeah, please, we're all kidding here. This is not a QAnon podcast. This is a QAnon slander.
I would
slander.
Be very upset if you thought that Scott Waldman, my Hebrew name is Shlomo, is QAnon. I'd be very upset.
Yes, for the record, yes, this is our second of QAnon slander.
I do not participate in pedophilia or rumors about pedophilia unless it's related to Jeffrey Epstein.
That's right, unless it's relating to bringing down the actual people that are responsible.
So let's
not
get
saying
to TikTok.
Anybody. Let's get to the TikTok. The talk.
No, I literally just Wikipedia'd this album. And I'm looking at the track listing. Futures, Just Tonight, Work,
yes.
Kill, The World
Ooh,
You Love,
work.
Pain,
work
Drugs Are Me,
one.
Polaris, Nothing Wrong, Night Drive 23. There's nothing wrong with this album. It's so good.
Nothing. There's not a song that I would skip.
No filler.
No, all killer, no filler for real on this time.
Yeah.
On this
Yo,
one.
Frank Zuma, what's up?
What's up, Frank?
But, yeah, he didn't play on the album.
He
no, it's such a good album. And I remember there was a song. Do you remember this song? Jen? That was
Jim.
Not on the album?
I don't know. Remember,
well,
Shame.
You need to Google or Jim. LimeWire that, or Kazaa.
I need to
song.
Go Bear Share that one, that's for
well,
sure.
Well, the song, I believe, was between The World You Love and Pain.
Okay.
And it's a good song, but it's not album material. They didn't settle.
Wow. They let us down.
Yep, they let us down, but you know what? There's nothing wrong with that.
It happens sometimes. It really does. You know, and I think the thing with this album. It's hard to say Love Let Us Down, because obviously I think this album, legacy wise, I think for them, it's, you know, we talked about Between Us, Where We Drank It. And I think that's kind of where it is generally for everybody, right? I think it's Clarity, Futures, or Bleed American more.
It's either number two or number three for pretty much every Jimmy World fan, which is strong, because lots of bands like the Beatles or Green Day, it's polarizing. But like pretty much every Jimmy World fan would say, you know what? This is either the best, second best, or third best. Like it's going to get a medal.
It's going to get at least bronze, but potentially gold.
I'll take it.
I'll take third place in life. Yeah, I mean, why not?
I mean, I'd rather have third place than I'm not standing on it.
I know. At least you're not. I want to be on a pedestal, right? That's what we want.
Fucking flout me, dude.
Flout me. Yes. Love it. I love it. Now, Scott, how do you think this record holds up? Like, if you think this record could get released today and still have the success that it did.
No, but I think it would do well.
No, you don't think so.
I feel, which is sad and upsetting, but people would say the production is dated. But sure. I think the songs are sick as fuck. Mm-hmm. So if these songs were written and, you know, Phineas produced it, sure. But like, that's the common thing I hear. It's like, oh, it sounds like this. But it's just like the songs are amazing.
Yeah.
And I feel that it would still do well, but do as well as it did then. I'm not gonna pretend that I live in a fantasy world.
Yeah, I don't think it would either, mainly because they wouldn't get on the radio at all, you know.
Name one band with guitars on the radio now.
Yeah, I mean, they were just on the radio like 4 years ago, but
now as in 2021,
right, yeah, exactly. 2021,
the only bands on the radio now are like Imagine Dragons, and no disrespect to them, but no.
Yeah.
And like, if this album came out in 2004, like that came out in maybe 2006 or 2007, it would do well. But I don't think it would do as well in today's climate.
I agree.
But I still think the songs are great. And if someone would have done, you know, 23 Now or like Kill or Just Tonight, maybe it would do well.
Yeah, I think I agree with all of that. I think it wouldn't sell as well. For all those reasons we mentioned, but I think if a band put it out with quote unquote Phineas producing, I think it would get received the same critically wise.
I think fan wise and critically wise,
where people would love it, but it would not be a gold record at this point. Because what records are gold by rock bands these days? None, unless you're Avenged Sevenfold, you know. Because even Nickelback has gold records anymore. So, like, if Nickelback isn't selling, Jimmy Eat World isn't selling in the year 2021, unfortunately.
I mean, honestly, like, nowadays, like, I mean, I'm curious how well Blink-182's 9 sold. Like, I'm curious how well, like, a lot, like the new Weezer stuff sells. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, Weezer obviously does well in their Africa cover, like, resuscitated them, but I don't know. But I can tell you that I believe, and I did not believe this in 99 when I saw Jimmy World on the Clarity Tour, that Jimmy World is going to be a legacy band. I feel that they're going to keep releasing albums and keep closing shows with either Sweetness or The Middle, and they're going to be fine.
Yeah. They are permanently a band that's like, and those, you know, what, 1,500, 2,000 cap venues, right? I think that's where they are. And that's there's money. I mean, good for them. Like that, you know, to be a band that's around for 20 years still headlining shows, I think is nuts, you know. That's kind of where a lot of their peers are.
To do that once is a big deal, let alone to do that album after album after album. I mean, let me look at their Wikipedia for, like, how many albums they have. I'm guessing?
Yeah, somewhere in there.
Four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, ten. They have 10 albums, for all intents and purposes, their major label stuff from 96, nine albums worth of material. They could literally tour and play Bleed American front to back and do fine.
Yes, and I would pay for that, actually. But they did not ever do that for Mindstream. I know they played a show where they did it, but I don't think they've done, like, a tour.
They probably played Bleed American front to back, but I don't believe they've, like, I feel that if they're going to play like a 12 song set list, like maybe a quarter of the songs are going to be from Bleed American. But maybe a quarter of them are also from Futures, to be honest.
They did the Futures anniversary tour, so I know they did that one because I was there, and that one was solid.
I saw it too, and it was a great gig. Yeah, the 10-year. It was sick. It was so sick. I want to go. What's the website where they play their set lists? I forget.
Setlist FM?
Yeah. I just want to see straight because up like these FM. Setlist sites, they're perfect about like doing the ratios. Mm-hmm. I guarantee you a number of their songs. Like, I'm not looking at their shows where they play like five songs. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm talking about like a full setlist show. I'd be remiss to say that I bet that the like just as many songs from Bleed American as Futures. Okay, yeah. So here's one with 10 songs. I'm probably wrong, but that's fine. From a show they played at the Orlando Amphitheater in November of 2019. You know, they played 4 from Bleed American. They fucking played 2 from Futures, so hell yeah. Yeah.
So the official setlist.fm statistics say that over all the you know set lists they've got tracked on this site, which obviously not every single show ever, but of all the set lists that are on there, 28.7% of the songs are from Bleed American and 22.1% are Futures. And
I
then
mean, that's a close
15.8
that's
is Clarity.
A quarter.
Yeah. That's literally half of your set list right there, right? 28%. Yeah, half of your set list.
Well, looking at their show from November 19th, 2019, where it was on the Surviving tour, so it makes sense that the bulk of the songs were from their newest album, which will clearly bleed out. They played 5 from Bleed American, 4 from Clarity, and 4 from Futures. That is enough for me to say that, you know, 2004, and this was from 2019, so almost 15 years later, they're still doing the bulk of their set from this fucking awesome album.
Yeah. It rips. Front to back, the record
it's
rips.
So good. I know we both love it.
And it is. It is. You know, I say there's, you know, at this time, again, like I said, I was 10. You know, so most of what I listened to was like whatever my brother listened to, which was like a lot of pop punk stuff. You know, but this record, I think, was interesting to me. Because, like, I did listen to it at that time because, like, again, my brother was 2 years older than me, but, like, I was always listening to something. This record, and then there's another record from a band that's since been, you know, canceled, so we can't really talk about them, but whatever. You know, those two records, like, really shifted, like, my music taste, right?
Wait, which canceled band?
Which canceled band? Brand New.
A lot of people. Like, it sucks because Deja and Devil are great, but...
Yeah.
They don't exist anymore. Anyway,
they
continue.
Don't exist. Yes. Yeah, so those like Deja Entendu and like
Lost
Futures
Prophets
really,
are great, guys. Lost
Oh God. Oh my God. Another disclaimer. Not quite. Not quite. Last Train Home
kidding.
Was a solid song, but they are terrible. Or he's a terrible person.
Phil Spector too.
That's right.
sorry.
Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness.
You can edit this if you want, Logan White.
It's pure chaos, man. This is a Scott Waldman experience.
I'm so drunk.
Just drunk on life, man.
Wow.
I love it. I love it. You know who else I think owes a lot to this record? I don't know if we mentioned this on air or not. We did mention this on air. No. Yes, we did. Pinamino owes a lot to this record.
We talked about it, them and Molly.
We talked about Pinamino, yeah. We also have not talked about the Dangerous Summer, I think, owes a lot to this record because stylistically, they're all like similar, and I would pay an abnormal amount of money for that tour.
I would pay a dollar extra for another Futures tour.
I would pay, yes, I would love to see Futures. Are they doing that live? No, they did Surviving live, I think.
They did Surviving tracks all the way through, really?
Yes. Yeah, they
did.
Good
for them.
Yeah, they did that. I forget what the other two are. I know they're doing 2 more live streams. I don't know which ones they are.
I mean, the Futures tour was sick as fuck, and they played during the encore songs from their EP, Stay at My Side Tonight. It was exceptional. It was great. But I'll tell you, the best 10-year anniversary tour I saw was for not one of my favorite bands of all time, but Cartel's Chroma was the best 10-year tour I've ever seen.
Really? That's interesting.
They just sounded perfect. I was listening to it from like a musical perspective and a critical perspective. I was like, you didn't fuck this up, guys. This is good.
They did good, man. They did good.
I'm proud of you, even though I don't know you.
Remember when they did that Band in a Bubble thing on MTV?
Yep. Yeah. In their career. Had they not done that, it would have been different for them. They could have been Fall Out Boy, but, you know, they got money then. And they money then money. Buys food.
Money. Hey, you can't blame them for that at the time. That gave them a top 20 record. But, you know, what happened after that was, unfortunately, nothing of the same, you know. That got them their major label deal, and then the major label was like, wait, no, we don't want this anymore.
Yeah, we don't. No, what are you doing?
They're like, hold up now. You're not in a bubble anymore. Get the hell out of here.
Yo, get out of that fucking bubble, honestly.
Man, yeah, this, doing a cartel and like this record, that was like the tail end of like this music being popular, right? I mean, I think, you know, I think Big Casino was like a big radio song too,
Big Casino is so good, and Chase This Light should have been bigger. But
Dizzy is a phenomenal
Dizzy's a great closing track, man. Dizzy's sick.
So my fun story about that Futures tour. So I saw them in Cincinnati, and I talked to him after, and I asked if he would play Dizzy, and then they played Dizzy in Columbus, and I was like, this is amazing. Like, I love it. They played Dizzy. I don't really want to say that's because of me, but like,
it's because of you.
I would have to. How many other? What are the odds that anybody else is like, can you play Dizzy tomorrow in Columbus? Like, I don't know, but they did it.
Not that likely.
Not that
people
likely.
People would be like, play the hits. Play the hits. Man. I can tell you that if I were in the audience, I would have been stoked too.
It was a great time, and that is one of my favorite songs by them too. So I cried. Because Dizzy's a sad song.
It's a well-deserved cry, and I think more people need to admit that when they cry.
More people need to admit when they cry, and they should cry listening to 23 by Jimmy Eat World. Because that's a tearjerker, man.
I cry.
Well, Sky, what are your final thoughts on this song? What would you tell somebody? Like, if you're trying to get somebody who had never listened to this song, or this album, to listen to it,
23?
What would you tell them?
23 or the album?
The album as a whole.
Okay, well, if you like really, really big guitars, catchy melodies, smart, relatable lyrics, and just really, really beautiful songs that don't feel beautiful, check it out. If you don't, why are we talking?
That's right. I love it.
I didn't plan shit for this.
No. We just came on just for having a good time.
Well, no, I just want to let you know that Logan's fucking smart, and he made an outline. I read it, and I wanted to read it once and not read it again and come in honest. But you thought this through. This is a dope-ass show. This is a really awesome album. And if anyone is into, you know, the post-hardcore, emo, pop-punk, whatever world you want, this is a band you gotta recognize. Absolutely. Whether you like them or not,
and you should like them, otherwise you should go to jail.
Yeah, if you don't like them, I mean, honestly, I question your entire person. But you know, I mean, it's a subjective medium. Like, what tastes like fucking pineapple pizza to me might taste like cheesesteak to Logan. I don't know. But I can tell you that this album is just so smart, so well done, and it's undeniable.
I love it. That's how I would do it. It's undeniable. It is an undeniable like rock record, and that's all they need to know. And if that doesn't get you to listen to it, I don't have to tell you. You're just wrong.
I mean, honestly, if you haven't listened to it, or you're not gonna listen to it after listening to this show, I question you.
Yep. Fair. Boom. Mic drop.
I mean,
right,
this
there.
Show is so good it made me have to pee.
Well, Scott, I will let you go on that wonderful note.
That wasn't like stop.
No, let's get this
I mean,
out,
honestly,
man.
I'm always happy to talk about albums that need more recognition. And when people think of Jimmy Eat World, for some reason, they talk about Clarity because it's great, and they talk about Bleed American because it's huge. But this album feels like the Philadelphia to New York City, right? It's like, hey, I'm here too.
I'm here too, and I'm just a short drive away. Short train ride
I'm
away.
I'm a short drive away, and look, we got Pat's and we got Geno's, you know?
Sorry, we got Philly cheesesteaks, man.
Hey! Like when we talk about Ohio, what? Do people talk about Cleveland the most?
Oh, I don't know, probably.
So it's like, hey, man, I'm from Akron. Akron's cool too.
Yeah, nobody's from Akron. So only one person's ever from Akron, LeBron James. Other than that, nobody's from Akron.
Yeah, but that dude can buy Cleveland.
He's basically bought Akron. He's got his school in Akron, man. He is Akron, so that's good
stuff.
Well,
good for him.
Good for LeBron James
anyway,
and good for Jimmy
is
World.
Great.
Penemino is great. We can piggybacking off that last week's episode of Penemino. Penemino's a great band, in case you didn't hear. And Scott has the approval now, so what else do you need to know?
Nothing.
Nothing.
Yo,
nothing.
I've always believed in futures. I love this album. I support the shit out of this. I stand this show.
We
and
stand.
I just want you to know that, like, if you're really into music in this scene from 2004, I would rank this album almost as high as I would American Idiot.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. That is what we're going to end it on. It's up there with American Idiot.
I'll say it.
I'll say it. I honestly like it more than American Idiot, but I'm not the biggest
Green
Day fan.
I think that American Idiot is great. I think it's Green Day's second best album, but I would rather listen to Clarity front to back than Dookie.
There it is. There it is. And that is the word of Waldman right there. That's all it is.
Substream by Dolby Radio.
That's right. Gave us Scott the Waldman, and that's all we needed to know. Scott, I appreciate it. This was a great time. This is a great record. I will
did
let
I
you
do
get
okay?
back to your family life.
Logan White, did I do okay?
You did decent at best or whatever Mayday Parade said.
C-.
C-, that's right. C's get degrees or D's get degrees, whatever the
saying
is.
At U of M, I know Ohio State people love Michigan. A C- would not graduate me, but a C would.
I see. Well, you got to try a little bit harder next time we do this. That's all right. We'll work
next
on
time
it.
I go to college, I'll try harder.
Yeah, next time. Go back to Ohio State. That'll get you your
fuck
C.
You.
Oh,
yo.
My gosh. Scott.
So wait. What other albums are you discussing? I just want to hear this before I go.
What we've done up to this point?
Yeah.
Well, so we did a Wonder Years record, which is fun.
Upsides?
No, we did Suburbia.
That's our best
Suburbia
album. So good.
It's one of my favorites. We did that. We did Yellow Card. We did Paper Walls for fun.
I mean, okay. That's maybe their sixth best album, and I'll take it.
Oh, you're wrong on that.
No.
Okay.
Let me see what I wrote for that. I believe that Southern Air is actually my favorite Yellow Card album.
That's a solid one. We talk about that on the podcast. Southern Air is very good. We did Sugar Cults, which is great. And then we did Armor for
Palm
Sleep.
Trees?
No. Well, not yet. But we did Lights Out.
Okay. That's a good album. I mean, Sugar Cult don't have any bad album.
No, they do not. We really did that one in the sense of it's like, you should listen to that album if you haven't, because I think it's their best album. Much like this was like a rock record, I think Lights Out is like a rock record.
No, Lights Out's so sick. Los Angeles, I used to put on a lot of mixes of girls that like didn't follow through.
That's a solid one, man. Right there with Futures. That's your whole
And now
state.
I'm married.
And now you're married with a child.
Fuck
who knew?
The police. Yeah, with a little boy who loves Futures.
That's right. That's how we believe in Futures right there. We believe in
I
Max.
Can't follow up with that. That's a good closer.
That's a good closer. Scott, I appreciate it. I will let you get back to Max and Futures and everything that you have to do in your life.
I'll let you get back to SLO, Panamento, Substreamo, Malio, and worshiping Scott Waldmano.
That is, Scott. I appreciate it. Thank you so much. We'll